Mid aroused herself indignantly.
I'm a Gowsome, and my father's Django Big Boat. He's a Logalog, chieftain of all moss flower shrews. So when me and Bawty are prisoners here, he'll find out. Ha! And when he does, that Swilt, aye, and the one they call the Sable Queen, they'll be sorry, believe me.
A gaunt-eyed bank foal nearby scoffed.
Ha! Every beast says something like that when they first get here. Forget about escaping. You'll soon see it ain't no use. Right, Flendor?
The young otter gritted his teeth.
Maybe. Maybe not. Some way, somehow, there's got to be a way out to freedom. I'd sooner die now than spend the rest of my days rotting in here, mate. But we can't rush things. First, we got to make a proper plan. Another thing, we'll only tell those we can trust.
Midda was surprised.
You mean there's prisoners here who tell Twip that we were escaping?
Tura nodded.
Aye, poor silly beast who'd do anything for an extra mouthful of food. That's the way it gets some after a while in here. Quiet now. Here comes Thwip and Binter.
The door was opened. Two guards dragged a steaming cauldron in, followed by another two lugging a tub of water. Then the foxes swaggered in. Thwip was large and fat. He flourished a long whip, making it crack. Binter leaned on her ewe cane, favouring her limp. Thwip folded his whiplash.
Well, ain't you lot a lucky beast? A nice dry roof over your heads, comfy and warm, good victuals and drink a-plenty. You don't have to do a thing to earn them. Just sit there nice and quiet. Eh, Binter?
The vixen drew an imaginary line with a cane.
Line up single file and be still. Any beast pushing or shoving will get a taste of this rod and no victuals. Two pawfuls apiece, then line up over there for water.
As they hurried to get into line, Thwip pushed his whipstock on the midder's chin. He leered at her.
You are, yeah. Well, get to the back of the line. Go on.
Tura went with her, whispering.
You'll have to fetch Bawty or you'll get none.
Midda glanced at her baby brother, sleeping peacefully.
Leave him there. He needs his rest. I'll try and get enough of me paws for both of us.
The gaunt squirrel maid replied.
Well, you see if I can manage to grab a bit extra too.
It was the poorest of food. Obviously the remains of their captor's meal, mashed up with roots, leaves and a bit of wild oatmeal, all boiled in water to produce a pitiful gruel. There was also a single ladle of brackish water apiece for the young prisoners. Bawty woke briefly. He ate some of the mixture, which his sister and her squirrel friend had saved for him, murmuring drowsily.
I want to go home. Go home.
Midda picked him up and rocked him, singing a little song she had made up specially for him.
Bawty, Bawty, my little Bawty, don't you weep and don't be naughty. If you promise to be good, we will play in moss flower wood. Sleep now, close those eyes. Midda's got a nice surprise. When you waken up again, I'll make you a daisy chain. A daisy chain, and you know 'tis true. My little Bawty, I love you.
The baby shrew fell into a slumber, sucking his paw. Midda watched him, trying to sleep herself, but the tears would not allow her to shut her eyes, so she sat staring into the gloom, quietly weeping for her mother and father and the big logboat she called home.